When we had the ladies' meetings down there, most of our ladies that would be the leaders would come in and they'd say, oh, and before I start, I want to show you my book in case you want to get a copy of it. Well, I never wrote a book, but I do have. What I did is that when Bob and I first went down there, we were asked by a man named Don Crosswaite, who put out music under the name of Don Cross, and he asked us, since he owned the radio station, he said, would you like to take a free segment every day? And they're asking us if we want to do that. Free. Obviously, we're going to say yes. And he said, I'll give you 1 minute every day, and you produce one called Thought for the Day. And what he wanted us to do was to take a secular thought and make it into a spiritual ending. So we did that. And I don't have a book, but I have plenty of writing. So if anybody wants to look at these, they're welcome to. But I picked one out here because I thought this one would be interesting for people from the Philadelphia area. And it was about Stephen Girard. And we put this on the program. And every morning we would have that program. We did that for 30 years until my husband died. And then my son took over, and he did a very good job with it, too. But it says, one Saturday, a Philadelphia millionaire, Stephen Girard, informed his clerk that because a shipment was to come in late, they would all have to work the next day to help it unload it and put it away. One young man stepped up to him and said, Mr. Girard, I cannot work tomorrow because it is Sunday, and it's against my belief to work on Sunday. Mr. Girard answered, very well, sir. Go to the cashier's desk, and he will settle with you. So for 3 weeks, the young man tramped the streets looking for work to no avail. One day, a bank president asked Mr. Girard if he could recommend someone to work in his bank, and Mr. Girard recommended the young man. Surprised, the banker said, but I thought you fired him. And he says, I did. But a man who is willing to lose his job rather than compromise his principles is a man that you can trust with your money. I have heard it said that the hardest place to stand up for your belief in God is where you work and with those that you work with. Sometimes it's hard to stand up for what we believe in the face of opposition or hardship. But remember, if we stand up for the principles of God, God will honor us. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore, take heed unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Have you taken a stand for Christ where you work? And then my husband would end with, and this has been Bob Howard with the thought for the day. And they liked it so well that they started asking for more. So instead of writing five a day, I had to write, or five a week, I had to write seven. And they really did like it. Now, Walt had wanted me to tell you a little bit about how I ended up down in Kentucky. Well, my husband and I moved out here and lived next to the Harrises. And we got to know the Harrises pretty well. And what the Harrises did was invite us to this church. Now, I had made up my mind before we moved out here. I wasn't going to go to a Presbyterian church or a Methodist church, but I was going to look for what I grew up in, the Lutheran church. Well, I had that all figured out, and then I found out something that I've been learning all my life. God is God, and I am not. And so God directed our thoughts, our beat right here. And we came with the Harrises. First of all, they were great neighbors. But then when we came here, it was Reverend Castordale was here at that time. I don't know whether anybody still remembers Reverend Castordale, but by golly, he was a good preacher. And he was also a wonderful man. And he made us so welcome And the first thing he did was he came out and he visited us. Now, I had been going to the Methodist church before we moved out here. I'm not saying it's just Methodist, but I'm saying that's where I was going. It was a big church. But I worked with the pastor of that church. I worked with his son, and he often came in where I worked. And yet, for the 3 years I think we were there, he never remembered who I was. He never visited us. And so I was kind of turned off by that. But when we came out here, they made us so welcome in this church and with the Harrises that we really started to grow in the Lord. We started to learn a lot about what God did in our life and what he expected from us. And so we kept on coming. And the more we came, the more we learned. And then we had a very dear friend here in this church that decided he was going to help us out because he knew that we had a desire to learn more about God. So he made it possible for not just Bob, but for me too, to go to Lancaster Bible College for the evening course. So we went up there, and Mr. Prang is the one, and he made sure that we were able to go because my husband had a job with him then. And Mr. Prang said, anytime you have to go for the Lord's business, he says, you just go. And so that's what we did. Well, when he was in Lancaster Bible College, there was a couple of ladies that had been from Scripture Memory Mountain Mission in Emmalina, Kentucky. And they were coming back up here because they were from this area. And so they came to talk about the need of the mission in Kentucky. And we found out that they needed more help. They had a Christian camp, and they were also able to go into the schools in Kentucky because the way the hollers are down there, they didn't have many kids that could get out to Sunday school or church. So the only place that they were hearing anything about the Word of God was in their school. And so we were invited to come down there in the schools, and they were they needed more missionaries. They needed somebody to do something to help them out with that. So we started going, they started going into the schools. And Miss Cook and Miss Darkus were the ones that came up here, and they talked in the Bible Chapel that night, and they told about the need of that mission. And my husband really got inspired. And when he came home that night, he had talked to the ladies at the end of their program, and she kept encouraging him to come down there to Kentucky and check it out. So he came home, and he walks in the door, and he says to me, if I go to Kentucky, will you go with me? And I don't know, what would he have done if I said no? Would he have still gone? I'm not too sure. But anyway, I did say yes. But then we started to prepare for the mission field. Before that, all he wanted to do was to preach in the church. He wanted to be a pastor. But God is God, and we are not. And so God changed his thoughts a little bit and started pointing toward the mission field. So they were praying to get seven people come down to help out because they knew they needed seven people. And they thought, if we could just get seven missionaries, that would be such a blessing. Well, when they reached us, they reached some others too, not from up here, but from other areas. Michigan and, I think Westchester was one. That's where John Newell was from. But when they ended up with the missionaries that they reached in that outpouring of prayer, they got 11. So we went down. We were part of the 11. And we went down there. Now, I went down there with my plans. And my plans were, I'm going down there as a housewife. Bob is going as a missionary. Well, didn't quite work out that way. First of all, I went down first because they start their schools earlier down here than they do back here. So in order to start the kids in the school, I went down first. And I was to set up the household, and he still had to come back and still, it's a faith mission where you go out and you raise your own support. So he still had some of that to do. And he came back and he started to raise the support, finish raising it. And I was down there and I took the kids to school. Now on the first day of school, after he had left me in Kentucky, I'm driving to school, and as I went down the road, here's a man laying in the road, dead. And I thought, what in the world? This man must have been hit by a car. Well, when the kids came home from school, they had the information for me that I didn't have then. He'd been shot. And I thought, he left me down here with these people, and the first thing I see is a man shot on the road? Well, I sort of got a bad picture of that. But anyway, he went ahead and raised the support, but he still wasn't down. And Miss Cook and Miss Vargas wanted to leave. And so they said they would take me around and show me all the schools where Bob was going to teach. And as we went around to all the schools, I had got a lot of different hollers, a lot of different places I've never been. And as I went up these hollers and found the schools, I was supposed to remember where they were. So when Bob comes down, I can show him where they were. And she said, I'll set up your schedule for you as we're going around. Well, Miss Darkus went upstairs and set up the schedule with the older children for Bob. And Miss Cook took me around to show me all the elementary kids and the Head Start and things like that. And she was setting up a schedule for me. And I thought, that's not what I was expecting. But, well, you know, they're just little kids. I can go along with that. So we kind of went along with that, and I thought, when Bob gets here, he'll do both of them. Well, it didn't work that way either. God is God, and I am not. Because if I was, I wouldn't have set the schedule up that way in the first place. But they took me around, and we got the schedule all set up. And then when Bob came down, praise the Lord, I didn't get lost. I found every school. And we had our schedules. And so we started teaching. And then Bob came down and he says, you know what? I don't do so well with the fourth graders. How about you take the fourth graders too? So my schedule kept getting a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. Well, I'm going to have to cut it short, I guess, a little bit. But we went to all these different schools. One of them was a one-room schoolhouse. And it was you probably wondered where this is all the time. Kingdom Come. That's where I went, Kingdom Come. And it was a one-room schoolhouse. And when we went in there, the teacher was wonderful. He really was. He not only taught the lessons, but he drove the school bus, picked up the kids, brought them into school, fed them their breakfast, fed them lunch, and took them for any trip or anything they were going to take. And he taught all those kids, and he was bragging to me one day, said, you know what? Most of the kids before I took over did not go on to high school. He says, I have never had one child leave my class in eighth grade. They went up to eighth grade. He said, I never had one child leave in eighth grade that did not go on to high school. And that was something to really be proud of. But what I was telling you about that one is, to get there, you had to go over a bridge and way back in the holler. And so they were working on the bridge one day, and the bridge collapsed. So when we went over, we didn't see any way to get in. And the man says, oh, yeah. He says, you go all the way around to Little Callum, which was back where a friend of ours is. And he says, you go up there, and then you go through the creek, which is the way they used to travel, through the creek. So we went, figuring, well, don't know how we're going to get in there, but the Lord provided a guide for us, because there was a man going in through the creek, and Bob says, we'll just follow him. Well, we did. We followed him in through the creek, got in, no problem, had our lesson, and then went home. Well, the Lord didn't send us a guide on the way home. Did you know you can go the wrong way in a creek? Well, you can. So anyway, we got in that creek and we started down the creek to come out. And we're driving and it's getting a little rough. It's starting to go like this, you know. I'd be looking down here and here's the bank coming up at me. And Bob stops and he says, I think we went the wrong way. And I said, nobody can go the wrong way in the creek. Well, yes, they can. And he started to back up in the creek. And I thought, I am going to end up being drowned in this little creek. But he did get us out. But that was an experience. And I'm probably the only one here who can say my husband got me lost in the creek. But he did. But he was a good man. And he did teach those kids. And he did something that we haven't been able to get anybody to substitute for him. Because when we were there for many years, I am kind of jumping ahead here. When we were there for many years, there was a young boy on the football team, and they're very much into their sports down there. But the young boy on the football team dropped dead while he was doing the exercises and everything. And so Bob saw the devastation of all the boys that were there because they didn't know how to handle this. And he thought, these boys need a chaplain. So he went to the coach and he asked the coach if he could be their chaplain. And the coach said, you sure can. I've been praying somebody would do something like that. So he became the football chaplain, which I had a picture somewhere, but it's probably lost in all that stuff. But he was the chaplain for the football team for many, many years. And our son was on that football team, too, before he was killed. And in fact, he was on it when he was killed. He was coming back from a basketball game with the girls' basketball team, who was the championship team. And one of the boys that he had gone to school with from first grade was driving around carrying on. And that was back in the days when Dukes of Hazzard was on. And I think the boy was imitating the Dukes of Hazzard. But it ended up in an accident that killed three boys, and my son being one of them. But I have several different things here. Now, I don't know how long I really have. Nobody told me. But
everybody gets up and leaves.
Okay, oh, I can do that. I also used to be the dining room hostess, and I've emptied that dining room out, too. I can do it. Now, this is the story of my son, and I have two of them. The first one was killed by a train, a coal train, that had, it was a foggy, rainy, or foggy, and the hills were on fire, so the smoke was combining with the fog, and there was zero visibility, and he never saw the train across the tracks. And he was on his way home, and he hit that track. But God used those things in our life, because God is God, and we are not. I would never have chosen to have it used that way. But our co-worker was a lady from Oxford, Miss Young. Ellen Young was her name. I don't know where in Oxford she lived, except that they had a farm in Oxford down here. And she came up to Bob and she said, Bob, I don't know what the Lord is doing in your life, but I can tell you one thing. Through all of this, you will be a better preacher. And I must say, he was a better preacher. And whenever anybody had a problem, had a loss in their family, the first one they called was Bob and myself. And they would call us to come talk to them, because they knew that we had been there. We understood it. We were also the first ones back in, I think it was like 85, we were inducted into the Letcher County Mountain Heritage Hall of Fame. So we stayed there for, well, Bob died when he'd been there 30 years, but I had promised the Lord that I wouldn't leave until there was a replacement sent for us. And it took almost 10 years. It took, I think, 8 years before we got somebody that was willing to come in and to teach those kids. Now, when I would teach them, this is one of the things that I used. This little dog's name is Sometimes. I'll bet you can guess why his name is Sometimes. Sometimes he does what you want him to. Sometimes he doesn't. Just kind of like us. Well, the kids really liked him. And he would go in there. And one of the things they liked about, I don't know if you can tell or not, but this is handmade. This is crocheted. And so when the kids would want to play with him and see if they could make Sometimes do what he was supposed to do, which he never did. He always did the same thing with them that I did. And so I would say, Sometimes, do you remember the tricks I taught you? Well, will you do one for these kids here, your kids right now? And he said, yeah, he would do it. Okay. Well, what I want you to do is I want you to sit up and beg. Okay, sit up and beg. That's not sit up and beg, is it? No, that wasn't. But they would do the same thing. And then they would play with him. Well, if anything happened, I can make a new one. But we use Sometimes. And this one, he's not their favorite, but he was the only one that would come up over the puppet stage with legs. So they liked that. And they liked the fact that he was red. Well, what do you think when you see him? Is he mean? Most people think he is. He's not. And that was to teach him that God looks on the heart, on the inside, while we look on the outside. He's a good, nice person, aren't you? Okay, he's very nice, and his name is Red Baron. And he has a brother, too. And his brother's name is Red Baron 2. Okay. What color is he? Oh, he's blue. Well, why is he called Red Baron 2? Because that's what his mother named him. Okay, he's Red Baron. But he isn't blue, red like you are. He's blue. But when we go through a kind of lot of rigmarole, I finally understand that he's not saying he's Red Baron also. He's saying he's Red Baron 2. Okay. And this is another thing I thought I'd bring to show you. The reason I bring this to show you is because the lady that did this was almost 100 years old. And her name was Mrs. Caudle. And Mrs. Caudle never used a pattern. This is all done freehand. She would make quilts like this. And she would make clothes like that, like skirts and vests. And I just thought it was the most extraordinary thing I ever saw, that she was so talented. They really liked it. Since you saw this before, I'll digress and show it to you again. Because Mrs. Shucky Beans. When we first went down there, there was no electricity. It was just coming into some parts of Letcher County. And when it came in, their machinery to put it in would be mules. So they would bring it in through the hills with the mules. And the people didn't have ways to preserve their food. So this is what you would see hanging on the porches. This is green beans. And that's what they do with them. They string them up, and hang them up and let them dry out, and these are shoppy beans. I'm sure, especially anybody that knows anything about cooking, knows that if you've got something like this to cook, you're going to cook it a long time. Or in other words, you're going to eat shoe leather. Well, I still think it's shoe leather, even when they think it's good. But my son liked it. And so I would try to cook it for him, but I'd just have to let it cook and cook and cook and cook. But that's what they would do to preserve their food. So when the electricity came into the county and people finally had electricity, what do you think was the first thing they bought for their houses?
Television.
That's right. That is what they bought. They knew how to take care of food, but they had no entertainment. And so they bought television. When Miss Young asked me that, I didn't answer with as smart as you did. I said, well, refrigerator. No, television. You know what this is, don't you?
Lunchbox.
Dinner bucket. We're in Kentucky. It's a dinner bucket. You know what they took for their dinner bucket? This is a children's dinner bucket. They would put a cooked sweet potato in here and take that to school. That was their dinner. So that's their dinner bucket. I know you can't see it back there, but I wanted to show this anyway. Because that one's probably better. Do you know what that is? That's your old choir robes. Do you recognize them? It's a long time. Yeah, that's your old choir robes, and that's your old choir robes. And that's my old grandson, and that's my old grand... Oh, that's my old son. Don't tell him I said that. Yeah, I did not bring my puppets up here one time. I still have those puppets, but most of them are down in Kentucky right now. Now, I'm going to call these marbles the things you have to do all day. Walt had said he thought you might like to see an example of what I did for the lesson. Well, these marbles will represent your minutes in the day, all the things you have to do. Can you name some of the things you have to do in the daytime? You probably have to cook, don't you, girls? By the way, that's what they call you down there. You're not ladies, you're girls. So we can put all that stuff in here. That will represent cooking, cleaning. I'll go through it real fast. This will represent all the things you have to do. Somebody will be tripping on the marble, sliding across the floor. And then all these things are like, you have to work, don't you? And that takes a lot, so you have to work. So we'll put all these things in here. When you get up in the morning, what do you think about doing first? Do you think about all the things you have to do, like getting ready for work, going to school, all that kind of thing? I think most of us do. So I'm going to represent that with these things. And a lot of cooking and cleaning in the house, too. This is for both of you. I don't know about the men. They don't cook and clean up okay. But we have all these things to do. And then when we get all this stuff taken care of in the daytime, suddenly you might think, there is something missing from my day, isn't there? And what's missing? Well, I think you once you get everything taken care of here, and you sit down and you think, I think I'm going to take a little time and I'm going to pray to the Lord. Well, that's a good thing to do. So we're going to put that prayer in here. I'm not even going to look and see which is the right one. Right there, prayer. We have prayer. What else do we have? Well, we have studying God's Word. Let's put that in there. And then we have, fellowship with Christians. You know, the Bible says do not forsake the fellowship of your Christians with each other. So I'll try and put that in there. And a few more things here. Let's see. Bible study. Well, you know what? You just don't have time for it, do you? I can't get them all in that day. But there ought to be a way. You know, God is God and we are not. Maybe, do you suppose, maybe God wants us to put God first. So let's do it the opposite way. This says, be still and know that I am God. I can do that morning really easy. And then we have the Bible study, and we have prayer, and we have devotional time. I read the devotional for a lady that has read the Bible for herself all these years, and now she can't do it anymore. But I read it to her, and now she likes to hear some preaching on TV. That's good. Or come to church, right? Pastor Charlie, come to church and hear the preaching. And devotional time, that's really important. Good works. Anybody do some good works lately? I hope so. And then this is a Christian fellowship. Well, we got all that in, but now what are we going to do when we try and put all the things that we have to do in there? We're going to drop another marble. Good idea. Trust me. I'm hurt. But I'm going to try and get all this in here. Now, we couldn't get it in before, but we changed it around now, and maybe her sitting there will make me so mad I won't drop anymore. Well, she doesn't trust me. I'll fix her. But we'll see. So far, so good, huh? Get a little more of this stuff in that we couldn't get in before. See what we can do. And by the way, if anybody wants to take those things home and... Oops. All right, I'm sorry. Well, that's the same amount that we had before, but miraculously, when you put the Lord first... One last minute. If you put the Lord first, what happens? You can fit it all in together. If you put the Lord first. But if you put it last, it's not going to happen. You're just not going to fit it all in. I should have stayed there only 30 years. I might